Okay.
Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4U betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith. Blog Talk Radio.
Let's talk about the radio world. This is the Chaos Talk Show with your host, the one and only Derek Oliver.
It's chaos time, and my time is shining. Say what I want to say, if you don't like it, then I'm going to say it anyway. I bring in the real, this is the deal. Sit back, relax, and let your mind be free. Chaos,
boss, and have a boss for me. You don't know what you, when you go to church, you go to church. When you feel like that's who you want to be, that's who you be. So I don't see what you.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is Chaos Talk, broadcasting live on this Tuesday night. We're going to have a Tuesday night Bible study. We're going to turn the Bible study over in a few seconds. A quick announcement to all the people that are listening. We're on Chaos Talk. That's www. Blog Talk Radio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. If you're online, if you're listening on the phone lines, it's 845-277-9094. Again, that's 845-277-9094. Tonight we will continue the Bible study from Praise Tabernacle Church out of Lawrenceville, Georgia. Before I turn it over to the pastor and introduce the pastor and his team, first and foremost, I want to thank the Lord for giving us another opportunity to be able to broadcast Bible study from Praise Tabernacle Church, to have their Bible study live on the Chaos Network. I do appreciate that. Also, I want to thank my sponsors, Pepsi, Brentwood Publishing, Pizza Hut, and the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line for sponsoring us. Also, we're not on the air at St. Ann's College because of, due to the situation, we can't be on the air live there. And, you know, for those that are listening online, I want to say thank you again. Hopefully next week or Sunday we can be able to go back into the college and on the dorm as well. XM Radio in Cleveland, Ohio. I didn't know there was a Cleveland, Georgia, but in Cleveland, Ohio, XM Radio, we're broadcasting live on XM station number 32 out of Cleveland, Ohio. I'm saying our signal is good there, so I want to thank all those there. Also, we have a special group joining us tonight, Community Health Center for the Elderly is listening in live tonight. For all the seniors who don't have access to the internet or have access to being in church, they're allowing us to do the Bible study for them tonight. So I want to thank community nursing home for allowing us to broadcast live in their facility tonight. Hopefully it won't be the last time. And for all of those out there, just be aware there are a lot of elderlies who do not have access to the internet. And just keep that in mind. And I'll talk about that on a different show. But now is my pleasure is to introduce the pastor of Praise Tabernacle Church, Pastor Omar Zachary, and his team will be conducting the Bible study tonight, and you're going to be in the good hands with this guy. This is my pastor, the pastor of the church, and again, the church is at 877 North Clayton Street in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Just for those that want to know, that want to stop in when we get over this academic, that's where we're located at. That's where he's the pastor of that church. Him and his elders and deacons and evangelists will take it from here. So without no further ado, my pastor, the pastor of Praise Tabernacle Church, Pastor Omar.
All right. I bless you, Elder Oliver. We want to thank you once again for this opportunity that God has awarded us to be able to yet have Bible study. We know there's a lot going on in our world, in our country, in our world today. So we thank God for we know God is still a way maker, and we thank God for him making a way for us to yet be able to come together in his name and worship and fellowship under the banner of Jesus Christ. So just want to thank Ed Oliver and Chaos Blog Talk Radio, thank all of his sponsors. Tonight we do have a few of my co-laborers with us. I think we have Evangelist Dove Stanton on the line, and I think we also have Elder Victor Bluett on the line, and I think we may have a couple more coming in. Also, my wife, Lady Zachary, she's here. So tonight we want to, for a few moments, go into the book of St. Luke. St. Luke chapter, beginning at verse number 25. That's St. Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse number 25. This is a study that I taught a few weeks ago in Bible study at our local assembly, and I just feel it's just good to maybe talk about it again on tonight. On a broader scale, when I taught it last, about a month or so ago, we was not in this type of situation, but it was taught then, and like I said, I think it's a good thing to talk about now, about love and who is our neighbor and how we should treat each other. It's funny, we based on what's going on, determines how we treat each other. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we loved each other and cherished each other regardless of the circumstances, especially for those that claim the name of Christ. We are commanded to love one another, and we are commanded to love our enemies. Sometimes we miss that point, but if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you got to follow him all the way. You got to be a complete follower of him. So tonight, we just want to discuss for a few moments St. Luke, the 10th chapter. I just got notice that Elder Taylor is on also. So we thank you, Elder Taylor, for getting on. St.
Yes,
Luke,
sir.
The 10th chapter, verse number 25. Everybody hopefully should be there by now. Let's say a quick word of prayer, and then we'll go into the study. Kind Father, in Jesus' name, we just want to thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for another opportunity, another golden opportunity to share the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask now that you would send your anointing that makes teaching easy. Let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer, we pray that no flesh get glorified, be glorified on tonight, but that you would get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, St. Luke, 10th chapter, verse 25, we're going to start, and those that are with me, elders and evangelists, at any moment, y'all know I'll just, you know, if y'all have any comments, feel free to do so, okay? So we're going to start, St. Luke, 10th chapter, verse 25. Verse 25 says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And really, that's one of the questions I guess mankind will forever be trying to ask. And thank God that Jesus has already given an answer. And even here, a lawyer representing a man of status, a man that no doubt had a good position in the community. Last Tuesday we talked about Nicodemus, man of stature, no doubt was well respected in his area. And as a lawyer in our time, we no doubt feel that he was probably well off financially. But here, he's asking, amen, asking Jesus, the Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 26, and he said unto him, this is Jesus responding, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" It's funny how Jesus always had a comeback. He always had a way of, when they would try, as we see this lawyer tempting him, he always had a way to come back, and he would, when he come back, he didn't go around the bush. He came right back at him based on what his knowledge was. He was a lawyer, so Jesus responds with, you know, he responds to his question with a question. He says, well, what, in other words, you're a lawyer. What is written in the law? How readest thou? You know, you've been studying, no doubt. You done been to school. You done been to the university. You done been to college. You know, you've read this. You know what it says. You are a lawyer. And Jesus responds back to him, says, what's written in the law? And that's what I love about Jesus. He's going to deal with us right where we are.
Yes.
That's the beauty of it. He's going to deal with you. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you're feeling. You could be destitute. You could be lonely. You could be just seemingly lost. But Jesus will meet you. For those that are listening to me over the radio, Jesus will meet you right where you are. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be in the pulpit. It doesn't matter where you are. He's able to get on your level. He's able to get on your level. He's able to talk to you and talk to you in your language. Okay, he's able to get your attention and deal with you according to where you are in life. And that's a critical thing to understand. So he comes back to the lawyer and says, what is written in the law? How readest thou? What's your understanding? What's your understanding? Anybody want to chime in at this moment?
I like to say that he knew the lawyer's heart. He knew what his intentions were from the very instant of that question. He understood what he was trying to do. He was trying to manipulate Jesus and trick him up, as a lot of them was doing back during that time. So he and I believe that's why he responded the way that he did. Thou knowest the law. Thou read it. What you think? You know, because you're trying to trick me up. He didn't say that, but he knew the heart of this lawyer from the beginning.
Okay. All right. Great point, Elder Taylor. Anyone else, Elder Blewett, Evangelist Stanton, Sister Zachary?
Yeah, this is Elder Blewett. Jesus always tries to, and this is my understanding and what I've studied, but he always tries to see what you know already, to confess for you what you know, what you have read. Have you read it correctly? Because sometimes when we read things and we get it in us, we don't have the understanding of it yet. But he brings out the answer to what you've been reading or what you've been studying. And this man had to have been reading Scripture or knew about Scripture for him to mention it that way to him or turn it back to him that way.
Wow. Give you a great point. Great point.
Well, one thing that I noticed that I really like about this Scripture is there wasn't a name given for the attorney, so that could be any one of us. That could be any one of us. You know, it just says a searching lawyer. It addresses maybe his profession, but it didn't address his name. So that sure could have been, and behold, Dove stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
Wow.
You know, God gets us, like he said, right where we are, getting right here.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's excellent. To our radio audience, you know, we all can just put our name there. A certain lawyer, and behold, Omar stood up, or whatever your name is. Now, the truth of the matter, we all have came at Jesus in a certain way. It may not have been like this, but we all have tempted or tested Christ or the Holy Spirit in one way or another. We've all done things that we know we should not have done and went back and apologized. If you say that we didn't really repent, we may have just apologized and end up doing that thing again and again and again and again. So, you know, that was a great point. Not just he didn't verify the name of the lawyer. So that could be any of us. Whoever's listening, okay, we all at one point or another has been in this lawyer's shoes. So great point. All right. So let's see. Jesus asked him, "How readest thou?" And the man answered in verse 27. And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Let's deal with that, just that scripture. He answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. See, especially in today's church, in today's society, there's a big problem with, let's just say, the salvation part. We have people that want Jesus as their Savior, but they don't want him as their Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a difference. When I accept Christ, he has to be my Lord and Savior. Okay, when you just want to be him to be your Savior, You're just asking for the hand of God. You asking, you know, you just want all the benefits. You want him to heal you when you're sick. You want him to be your lawyer in the courtroom. You want him, you know, to come to your rescue. But when he's your Lord, what you're saying is, I'm a slave to Christ. I'm a servant of his. So not only is he my Savior, okay, he is my Savior, but I'm his servant. So that makes him, we have to establish him as Lord and Savior. That means we're going to do what he tells us to do. We're going to live according to how his word tells us to live. We're going to obey. We're going to be willing, as the Bible say, and obedient to the word of God. So, yes, when we love that you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, that means every part of you, every fiber of your being must be subject to the will and the word of God. Because if not, he's not going to just take a place as being your servant. It's like a marriage. It's like a marriage. There's no husband and wife in their right mind that will take vows on one day and say these vows are only for this day. When I took vows almost 20 years ago to my wife to honor sickness and in health, forsaking all others and all of this stuff that we said, that wasn't just for that day. That was till death do us part. And see, that's how we want to do Christ. We want to do him like we sometimes have done in marriage. Well, I made this vow today, but, you know, tomorrow, you know, I'm leaving you already. You know, I'm just going to enjoy the benefits of being married today. But on tomorrow, I'm going to go back to living the life of a single man, you know, being able to do what I want. And that's not right. Christ will not, there's no way you're going to inherit the kingdom of God or inherit eternal life. And Jesus is not just your Savior, but he has to be your Lord. He has to be your master. Where he leads me, that's what the old saints would sing a song, say, where he leads me, I'll follow. I'll go with him always, even to the end of the world. So we let's be mindful, and I'll open it up for those that may want to comment just on that verse, to let's not just welcome Jesus as our Savior, but let's reverence him as Lord and our Master. In other words, we're going to do what he tells us to do through the Word and through the Spirit of God. Anyone else?
Well, I think when we ask him to be our Lord, that requires discipline on our part. And a lot of times, we and obedience on our part to serve him as our Lord. And a lot of times we don't want to do that. Our flesh don't want us to do that, and our carnal thinking don't want us to do that. So we're just going to be it's good to have all the benefits of salvation, but, you know, I can kind of pass on you being my Lord, because you're going to require of me to do some things. You're going to require of me to be obedient. You're going to require of me to be disciplined in how I serve you. And that's where I believe a lot of people have issues with having him being Lord as well as Savior.
Great point. Great point. Anyone else?
I think with this scripture that I see, if Jesus gives a focus of where we should focus our love. Because he's saying that you should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. It gives us a focus where to put that love. Sometimes in our lives, we focus our love on the wrong things. We, you know, as a woman, sometimes we focus our love on a man so much that we put everything that we have into that man, and if that man let us down, then we're so heartbroken. But Jesus give us a place to focus our love, and that's on God. We should give our everything to God. We should give our mind, our thoughts, our heart, everything, our soul to God. So I thank God for this scripture because it gives us somewhere to focus that love. Yes, we're to love people, but we should love God with everything we have and not people with everything we have, because people can let us down.
Yeah.
You know, people can take that love and they could, you know, with our emotions, they can mess with it. Then we're all messed up in the head and we're like, well, I gave them everything that I have. But when you give God everything that you have, God won't let you down. God won't break your God won't leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So I thank God because it gives us somewhere to focus that love.
All right. All right. Great. Anyone else, Blue App, anything?
No, Evangelist Staten got me thinking. I mean, that was good. That was real good. But on the latter part of that verse, and piggybacking off of what she said, last part of that verse, and thy neighbor as thyself, you can only love yourself when you love Jesus and when he's your Lord and Savior. When you find out about what that true love is, you can love yourself, and then you can only turn around and love somebody else the same way you love yourself. So it's a combination of things that if he's our Lord, yeah, we have to do whatever he says. And what he said in the 27th verse, he will not fail us, piggybacking again off Evangelist, that he will not fail us like a man or a woman would fail us, and we're left in limbo or depressed. But Jesus will never fail us if we hold this to be true to our heart and thinking of him and how he is and what he is. So that was great, Evangelist. That was real good. And the last part again, and thy neighbor as thyself, we can only love others when we truly love ourselves. We got to work on ourselves daily to love somebody else the way they should be loved in the first place.
Amen.
Well, I see, y'all done got happy. Y'all done got happy already. See, this is what happened when we get together and we get to talking about the scriptures. So that's I think right now would be a good time for us to take a commercial break, and then we go when we come back. We're going to get into the meat, and we already in the meat, and we're going to cut it up a little bit and eat a little bit of this steak, eat a little bit of this T-bone when we get back. Ed Oliver, it's in your hands.
Listening audience for being with us on our Tuesday night Bible study. We would like to announce at this time, if you would like to give unto the ministry, there are two ways that you can do that. You can do that by Cash App, Our Cash App is $PTC, and that is P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. Once again, that is P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. If you would like to give by credit card, you can. You can give our call center a call and give us your credit card information for your donation. And that telephone number is 678-760-056. Once again, that is 678-760-6056. And we're so glad that you are joining us on tonight for this Tuesday night Bible study, and we will turn it over to our pastor, Pastor Omar Zachary.
God bless you, Evangelist. Amen. God bless you. We're so glad to be back on. Thank you, Ed Oliver, for that break. We're going to go ahead and pick up. We're in St. Luke, the 10th chapter, for those that may just now be tuning in. St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Right now, we just got through with verse 27, and I do want to make just one extra. I mean, we talked about that. We could stay on that scripture for the rest of the night and be fine. But I do want to point out, let us all remember that verse 27 is the answer that the lawyer gave to Jesus. Okay, that's the answer that the lawyer gave to Jesus. In other words, he knew the answer. He knew what needed to be done in order to inherit eternal life. So let's pick up in verse 28. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm getting a message that we'll be back on in about 30 seconds. I'm sorry. Okay, y'all, is everybody here? The panel, y'all are here?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me give it a few more seconds. Hey, Evangelist Stanton.
Yes, sir.
Give that information again, because if we wasn't on, then the listening audience may not have been able to hear that. So I'm gonna wait on El Alder so we'll know that we're back on.
Okay. You want it right now?
Hold on, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Hey, Pat, you guys are on.
Okay. All right. Go ahead on the Evangelist Stanton and give that information for the donation.
No, hey, Pastor, they heard all that information y'all was talking. They heard everything.
Okay. Cool.
No,
all right.
You guys are good.
Okay. All right. Thank you, brother. All right. Well, thank you. We're back. We're back live. We're going to pick up at verse number 28 for those that are just now coming in. We're in St. Luke, the 10th chapter. We're dealing with the lawyer that asked Jesus, what can he do? What must he do to inherit eternal life? He was trying to, and as the panel has stated, we already know Jesus is going to deal with you right where you are. That verse 27, the young man gives the answers, and we point out that not only must Jesus be our Savior, but he must be our Lord, and he didn't call the lawyer's name, so that means that this can apply to any of us. And we had so many other points, but verse 28 we're going to pick up, and it says, and he said unto him, this is Jesus responding to the lawyer again, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. This do, thou shalt live. You answered right. Okay. In other words, the lawyer Jesus tells you, yeah, so you for the most part you already knew. You knew this, but you're still, he was trying to tempt you, but he already knew the answer. Like we do. We know we should or shouldn't do certain things, but we try to justify. You know you shouldn't have cussed that person out, but, you know, you say they made you cuss. No, didn't nobody make you cuss. Cussing was in you. That thing, you know, it was in you. Or they made me slap them. No, didn't nobody make you slap them. You did it because you just, you You just wanted to slap them. So let's be mindful of that. Let's be mindful. Spirit-filled means spirit-controlled. So let's just be mindful. So, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. And look at verse 29. This is us. Lord knows this is us. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Okay? And who is, it seemed like he's really just trying to, you know, just, you know, kind of put salt in the wound. You know, he already knows this stuff, but he just comes at Jesus. But he willing to justify himself, verse 29, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor, Jesus? I know I just gave a good answer to the question that I asked you. It's bad when you answer, you know, your own question. You know, that's what he did. He answered his own questions. But verse 29, he's trying to justify himself. And that goes back to what I was saying. How often have we done things that we knew we should not have done, but we try to justify it? We try to make it seem okay. And then we try to put, well, Jesus knows my heart. God knows my heart. And we try to put a little religion with it. When you knew all along what you was doing, and you knew you shouldn't have been doing it. So let's go to verse 30, and then we'll open it back up. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Let me read that again. And Jesus, this is verse 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And I think Evangelist Stanton pointed out something earlier about, here we go again, a certain man. It started with a certain lawyer. Now Jesus is introducing a certain man. And once again, we all can, for the most part, put ourselves in this situation. We have fell among thieves. We folks have robbed us. You know, people have taken advantage of some of us. We've been stripped. Okay, I ain't talking about y'all that was stripping on purpose, but some have been stripped of their raiment, you know, their positions, their places of influence. They've been stripped. We've been wounded. Okay, some of us, we've been wounded due to relationship. You know, that lady, that young lady that you thought was the one, she may have wounded you. That man that you thought was the one, you pretty much, you know, gave you everything to it. We found out earlier we shouldn't, you know, got to be careful with giving our everything to a person anyway. But we've been wounded. Okay, there are many of you listening to me now. You can think of a certain time in your life where you was wounded, where you was left, and it seemed like left for dead. Okay, where it's certain seasons and times in your life that you can look back and you can think of it now while you're listening to my voice, that it was detrimental, it was heartbroken, your heart was heavy over this situation in your life. And Jesus is giving this illustration to give back to us on, we're none of us, I don't care what your title is, I don't care what your position is, none of us are void of life, meaning we none of us get an exempt card from having to go through trouble, okay, having to go through trouble. The Bible say man that is born of a woman is of a few days, and those days are full of trouble. Anybody on the panel like to chime in right here with the few verses that we read?
No, you good, so I'm concerned, Pastor.
Okay. Anyone? Anyone else?
I do want to say this in the context, though. And one of the reasons why Jesus said about his neighbor is that at this time in history, when the Jews were traveling from Judea to Galilee, they took great lengths to not go through Samaria. They always went around Samaria because they hated the Samaritans because they were half-breeds.
Yeah.
So it's interesting why he would ask why he would mention the neighbor part and go into this parable about a neighbor. So that's it. Woo.
Ah, you get happy, Elder. Great point. Because the Samaritan, like you said, they were considered half-breed. They were not considered all the way full-blooded Jews. So they was, kind of looked on. I think Jesus called one of them dog in another text. So, but that woman came back. That was the Samaritan woman. She came back and said, "Well, I might be a dog, but even the dog eat the crumbs." That's a whole nother lesson. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So, great point. They want to go through that. If somebody says, "Anything good?" What is there anything good in Samaria? Great point. Thank you so much. Look at verse 31. And by chance, okay. So we got this young man. He's been messed up, like a lot of us in life. We've been messed up. And anyone without Jesus, you messed up. Okay, you messed up. So let's look at 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest. Here's the preacher. Okay, by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, I know I got a couple preachers on here. What's going on now? What do y'all think? Is I know Old Testament, the priest couldn't handle certain things, certain situations. It was against them having to, handle and touch certain things. But is there anything else that sticks out to anyone on the panel with this verse?
Well, today's terms, he forgot his calling.
Ooh.
He forgot his calling. He's working and not even employed. God fired him. But he's still working, as you preached a while back. he may be even lifted up by the people that he's forgotten the compassion that he should have. And the reason we start churches, the reason we start getting together, assembling ourselves, is to help one another. And I think that's totally lost. And that's for us today. So I'll leave that right there.
Okay. Go ahead, Evangelist. Great point, Elder.
That was good, Elder. That was really something. It crossed my mind. He passed by on the other side. He went to the other side. And like Elder said, here it is. He's supposed to walk in love. He's supposed to walk in compassion. And he didn't want to get his hands dirty. He didn't want to put in the work. He didn't, maybe he thought he would get stripped of his clothing, about people versus thinking about what God was thinking. He was worried about what the people were concerned with, if they would raise a good offering or not. So he decided, let me get to the other side. Let me get away from the situation. Because I need to be about my business and not God's business.
Wow.
Great. Taylor, anything?
It was all about himself is what I'm getting out of this as well. Just to piggyback on what Evangelist Stan and Elder Blewett were saying, he was puffed up, and he thought himself to be better. Than what he saw. He thought himself to be better than this dissolute man that was on the road. He was better than him. And I can't help him because I'm better than him, and so he just he went to the other side of the road so that he don't even have to deal with this guy, so that he don't even have to look at him. He don't have to even lay eyes on him, you know. So I'm going to the other side of the road, and I'm going to keep going. Obviously, I mean, he probably could have been in a rush. He probably had duties where he was going, and he probably had to get there, but he didn't think it'd be wise for him to stop to help somebody because of what he had going on probably at the church. You know, he couldn't stop and help somebody because he had duties at the church, you know, so he was trying to get to probably. And so we have to be mindful, you know, on that, you know, because somebody else could have saw that. Somebody else.
Right.
How could that have affected someone else that was looking, that another passerby that knew this was a priest, thinking, wow, this guy didn't even help him. And he's supposed to be a priest, you know. And in the same way with the, well, I'm not going to move on a little further past it. I'm going to let you do that. But another person came along and did the same thing, you know. So you never know who's watching. You never know who's seeing what you're doing as a minister or as evangelist or as a deacon. You never know who's watching. So you have to do the things that according to what God has called and purpose in your life. And one of the things he called us to do is love thy neighbor as thyself. And this guy missed it.
Yeah. You know, that makes me think, how many times are we on our way to the church, but we miss church on our way getting to the church?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that we miss the opportunity to be able to serve somebody.
Right.
You know, we want to go and speak in tongues and do all this in the church, but we won't even speak to our neighbor right next door. I mean, this is what we're talking about. We want to go to somewhere, you know, feel comfortable in a building, but we won't even reach out. Nobody on your job or in your community even know you saved.
Mm-hmm.
But we're busy doing what we think is ministry, and we're missing the ultimate opportunities to minister. Because we're so, well, I got to get here, I got to get there. You know, I got to get my robe on, I got to get my tie right, I got to make sure my shoes are straight, and we miss the opportunity to because we're so keen in on where we got to go that we miss the points where there's somebody that needs us on the way to where we're going. And
that's
what I see. That, you know, the preacher, the priest came a certain, once again, didn't give his name. So to any preacher, you know, put your name in there. Make sure you're not passing up folks. Okay, sometimes because, you know, the old folk would say the preacher looked on him and saw he ain't have nothing, you know, so he just went on by, crossed on over on the other side. How many times do we do people like that in the church? We overlook certain ones because of the way they're dressed or what they drive or with the neighborhood they live in and certain things like that. We pass them by.
And we'll
skip right over them to go to somebody because they speak a certain way or look a certain way, and we'll gravitate to them, put them in a high position, you know, bring them, escort them up to the front, of the church and all that because of they look distinguished.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to understand, that could be the biggest devil. That could be the devil's child.
Mm-hmm.
But because you're looking through the flesh, okay, you're looking through your fleshly eyes, we miss those opportunities to really be an effective minister. And that's what I think the priest missed. He missed his opportunity to really be an effective minister. Let's look at verse 32. And likewise, a Levite. Now the priest, we know, going back to 31, the priest, you know, pretty much did, you know, the Holy of Holies, went in the temple and did all that. And then you got the Levites. And likewise, verse 32, and likewise, a Levite, which was a servant, okay, another minister in the temple that assisted. Okay, the priests, so the Levites, the sons of Levi, that lineage, they assisted the priests.
Okay, so, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So do we give the Levite credit for looking at him? Y'all talk to me. Dude. I mean,
I don't give him credit because he looked at him, so what? Just because you look at him, you don't go further and help this person, then looking at him doesn't mean anything.
Wow.
You know, in my opinion, just because you looked at him, yeah, you saw him, but you didn't help him. So you were no better than the priest that came before you. You know, the priest that came before you didn't even look on him, but y'all still both end up doing the same thing, and that was nothing to help this man. So he gets no credit, in my opinion, for looking on him. That's just like saying, you know somebody hungry and you have the ability to feed them, but you say, I'm going to pray for you, you know, in terms of, you know, hoping you can get fed.
Wow.
But you don't do anything to help the person, you know. And so in my opinion, no, he doesn't get any credit for looking at the man.
Great point. Anyone else?
I was looking at that, and I was thinking we need to check our motive while we're looking. Why are we looking? Are we looking to tell somebody else to go gossip, say, I came to look on sister such and such, and this is what she got going on? Are we there to tell the story and then keep going? Because why was he looking? Was it just to be nosy, to see what he had going on? So we got to be careful when we go to look on somebody. We got to know what our motives are. Are we trying to gather information to take it to other people and not help them, but harm them even more with whatever we got coming out of our mouths?
Wow. Great point. Elder Bluette?
This is good. This is good. So this deacon or this assistant is following the leader.
See? Yeah, there you go.
He's following the leader.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful how we lead. We have to be careful how we present ourselves and do things in front of people, because people will follow you and do what you do. Now the deacon, he did go look. And he went over to the other side. And that next verse is going to get us, though. But he went over to the other side. But the things that we do in life, God remembers our good deeds and our bad deeds. This is written down for the things done in our bodies, the things we don't do, the things we knew to do. And this is added in there, too. So it's recorded by God. You have to have an action. And we have to watch what our actions are. We have to watch what they are. And we can't let this mindset, and as Elder Taylor mentioned the flesh earlier, we cannot let our flesh control this soul inside of our body that's wrapped in this flesh. The soul wants to do right. But we're controlling, we're taking the control away from God and the leader is the thing in this. The leader sets an example. And this deacon or this Levite or his assistant is following the leader.
Great point, man. All right. Y'all working tonight. Y'all working tonight. The old church, they would say that the deacon went on and patted him down, made sure he didn't have no more offerings. So he saw that he didn't have no more money, so he crossed him on up.
His father was naked, knew that he had no more money.
Yeah. The nigga was saying, Pastor, don't beat me to him. Don't beat me to him. Amen. Let's take another quick break. And I think when we get back, we'll try to get on. Y'all done got happy, and I can tell the radio audience has gotten happy too. But let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll try to get on through this lesson on tonight.
All right. Elder Oliver.
Everybody say bless. Say bless. Say bless. Yeah.
We thank everyone for joining us tonight for our Tuesday night study with Praise Tabernacle Church. I would just like to give you this opportunity, if you would like to give to the ministry, there are two ways that you can do it. We do have a Cash App, and our Cash App is $PTC877. Once again, that is money sign, P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. Or if you would like to give by credit card, you can give our call center a call at 678-760-6056. Once again, that's 678-760-6056. We are so glad that you are joining us tonight for our Tuesday night Bible study with Pastor Omar Zachary, and we're going to turn it back over to you, sir, for the remaining.
All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be back on. All right. To our listening audience, I think this is going to be, I think we're going to try to wrap it up in this segment. We're going to, I know we're getting happy. I know my panel, my brothers and sisters, my fellow laborers, my co-laborers at Praise Tabernacle. I know they're getting excited, and I'm getting texts and things that people are getting excited that are listening in. So let's keep it going. Let's look at verse. So we done dealt with the preacher. Okay, we deal with the Levite, which could be considered the deacon. Okay, and now let's see what verse 33. Let's look at verse 33. For those that may now be tuning in, we in St. Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 33. St. Luke, 10th chapter. Right now we're going to start in verse 33. For those that may want to go back, you may just now be getting in. We started at verse 25, dealing with a certain lawyer that asked Jesus, that was tempting Jesus, wanting to know what must he do to inherit eternal life. Okay, so verse 33 sounds like this. But a certain Samaritan. Once again, we're dealing with a certain. We're dealing with the nameless Samaritan, okay? But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Let me read that again, because I know we're busting out at the seam to just this verse. But a certain Samaritan half-breed, the one that you wasn't expecting anything good or anything positive from, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, In other words, he had somewhere to go also. Came where he was. So he did just like the Levite. He came and looked on him. Okay? And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Anybody on the panel wants to deal with just verse 33 for right now?
There are some people that have been through some things that can identify with people who go on through something.
That's what I was going to say.
But it goes back to the preacher, where he should be in his heart, what God gave him to do, his mandate. It should go to that first. But there are people that God got in this world that have been through some things and can see you hurting and actually physically take care of you until you're good. And we'll get back. We'll just keep going on the good. It's gonna get great.
Go ahead, Taylor. I hear you chopping. I hear you, Taylor.
I was gonna say something very similar to what Elder Bluette was gonna say. What he said, you know, this Samaritan probably has been through some things, and he knows what it's like to have compassion. And because at some point in his life, being a Samaritan, he's probably had to have compassion exalted upon him at some point. So he knows what it's like to show compassion, what it means to have compassion upon another person that's in need. And that's why it was easy for him to show this man compassion and forget about where he was going, what he was getting ready to do, because showing this man compassion and help meant more than where he was on his way to. So because he knows what compassion is, obviously, because how this parable turns out. He knows what it means to show a person compassion. And that's when he saw this man. He as the scripture says, that he showed him compassion, and he knows what this means. You know, he didn't think about nothing else. But I got to show this man some compassion. Forget about where I'm going. Let me help. Let me help this man. Because as a Samaritan, I know what this means to have compassion at some point.
Wow, great point. I hear you. I'm on the way. Go ahead, and then we'll come to you.
So he's talking to a lawyer now, a master of the Mosaic law. He's talking to him, the people he despised. In parable about a Samaritan, a person that the lawyer despised is doing the will of God. As the lawyer announced in verse 27, and love thy neighbor as thyself. See, so and that's why this parable is an imperative to be understood. To be understood. So if God has to use somebody in our lives, we can't stand. See, and they couldn't stand one another. They always went around each other to get from point A to point B. Samaria was right in the smack of the middle of the two cities that the Jews traveled through, and they went around Samaria to get where they were going. So he used a person. God can open your eyes, really. He could have used another Jew, but they really wouldn't have had him thinking. So and he's got him thinking about somebody he despised doing the greatest thing. Y'all go here. Y'all take it.
All right. Evangelist Stanton, anything?
Yeah, it reminds me of going to the grocery store and the clerk has a really bad attitude. And I sometimes have to look, what has she gone through to make her have this bad of an attitude right now? And I don't try to take it personal, but I try to say to myself, there may be some things that she's going through, so I need to display some compassion for her right now. See, we may think just in verse 33 is the physical things, you know, fell among thieves and stripped and no clothes on and wounded. But there's a lot of people walking around wounded on the inside.
Wow.
Those things on the outside. But sometimes their attitude allows us to see there's something going on. It's not that they just have a bad attitude. It could have been that they've been beat up on this morning before they even went to work. It could have been that lost everything and they're still trying to move forward and they're having a hard time moving forward. So sometimes we got to allow that compassion to come through and just give them an encouraging word instead of taking it personal, instead of moving on the other side of the street, instead of walking out the store and saying, oh, she had a really nasty attitude. You don't know what that person might be going through. So we got to allow that compassion, that love inside of us to rise up and just courage in words, even if it's nothing more than you being courage.
Wow. Wow.
That's good.
Wow. That's real good. And that makes me think, how many times do we miss an opportunity to be a blessing? You know, God puts us right in situations to run into somebody that's got hell all around them going on. And God will place you, whether it's on your job or, as Evangelist Stanton said, at the grocery store, maybe you're a waiter or waitress at the restaurant. You know, it's just chaos all around them. But God puts you right there for a reason to bring some type of calmness and some type of hope to this individual. But we miss the opportunity because we are so quick. Watch this, especially my audience. We're so quick to jump in the flesh.
There you go. There you go. That's good.
And we miss that opportunity, okay, because you jump in the flesh. Well, shoot, I ain't got to be bothered with you, you know, jumping in the flesh. Well, I'm going to walk on the other side instead of taking that opportunity.
Yes, sir.
To say, you know what, let me humble myself. Let me pray now and let me see what God is up to. Because remember, God always have a plan. Nothing is done haphazard or by coincidence. God, Scripture tells us that the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord.
Planned out.
Wow.
That's good. That's good.
Wow. Okay. So verse 33, he had compassion on him. I just want to ask those that are listening, when was the last time you genuinely had compassion for a person? And you remember, y'all, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving.
That's good.
Love is an action word. Okay, your love, and my dad used to tell us this, your love for me is no good if you don't have love towards me.
That's right.
Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another.
Yes, sir.
So it's important, you know, to those that's in the community nursing home, we want you to know here at Praise Tabernacle, we love you. Okay, whoever it is that's watching us, we're going to give you our Facebook information. We want you to chime in and let us know if you enjoy the broadcast. We wish y'all was here. I mean, we understand with the climate that we're living in that they're not letting folks into the hospitals and different things. But right where you are, Praise Tabernacle is here to let you know not only do we love you, but God loves you. Jesus loves you. And he's still here saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you can find rest in the midst of coronavirus. I'm about to get happy. There's still rest in Jesus. There's rest in the midst of what you're going through now, in midst of that bad news, in midst of that bad report. There is still rest and there's still hope in Jesus. Well, the old folks sang the song and said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. So, let's have compassion. Okay? It shouldn't take coronavirus for the church to have compassion. Okay? It shouldn't take this. We should be doing this anyway. This is what we should be doing anyway. And I got one of the listeners that's chiming in saying, when we help others, we are doing the will of God. When we help others, when we know we got neighbors and different ones, seniors around that may can't get out right now. Okay? But before Corona, we should have already been doing these things.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right.
But you know, we should already, you know, but let's try to, because we'll be on here past time and Oliver have to get on us. Let's try to get through. Look at verse 34. Okay, so he had compassion on him, verse 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds. Look at this. Pouring in oil and wine. See, a lot of us couldn't have poured in the wine because we too busy drinking the wine. and I ain't talking about that communion wine, you know, doing great juice, but we ain't going to pour in that wine because we too busy drinking that wine, praise the Lord. Y'all, I can't hear nobody now, but it's all right. And set him on his own beast. Man, you know what? We won't even pick nobody up for church. Here, this man gets off his beast and put a stranger on the beast. We'll ride right by folk and say, man, I just got my car wash. I just got my detail. I just got a detail. But the Lord gave you that car, okay, and that house and what you have to be a blessing to somebody else. So this man, he puts him on his own beast and brought him to an end. See, Lord, help me right through here. See, if the preachers will stay out the end, y'all ain't going to talk to me. Lord,
I know where you're going.
I'm going to lose my audience.
Don't
now.
Do it, Pastor.
We got
don't
too many
it.
Preachers going
don't,
to
don't
the
it,
hotel. Uh-huh. The preachers are going to the hotel trying to get motel looking for a hole that won't tell.
Uh-oh. Wow.
And that's the problem. Okay?
Yes,
we can't put folk that need to be in the inn. You got a homeless family. You got this and that going on. We can't do that because the preacher's got his girlfriend and his boyfriend in the hotel.
Uh-oh.
And no vacation.
They got the wife at home. See? Mm. So there's a problem, church. There's a problem. Okay? There's a problem, church. Okay, so we got to get this together. So he brought him to an inn and took care of him. Okay, took care of him. Anybody at this time? Because when I get to 35, we're gonna try to get on out of here. But go ahead. Anybody on the panel want to comment?
Well, it just shows you Jesus just showing how to rightfully take care of somebody. And as Elder Tatum mentioned earlier about. Somebody saying they're hungry or they're homeless or they're in need, and we say, well, we're going to pray for you and leave, and we're not taking care of them materialistically, see? When
great
we share the world, we also got to share ourselves. We got to share the corridor also to help.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus just showing how this man was truly healed. Evidently, he couldn't walk. He was half dead.
Yeah.
He was clothless.
Yeah.
He was wounded. Mm-hmm. And the man came along. Oh, my God. The steps of a good man are ordered. This man came
That's
along
it.
With what, exactly what he needed for this man that was wounded, for this man that was in need. And see, he's walked. Jesus put this at him walking in his lane, as I preached a couple of films ago. He's walking in his lane where his nuggets are, where his blessings are, what God got for him when he get to it. It's tarrying for him to get there. Then when he get there, it will not tarry. See, that's all about the vision. It's all about you walking standing in your lane, walking in your path. So whatever you run across, you're going to have what you need for the person that's in need. He had exactly what this man needed. And he's taking him where he needs to go in the next verse. Okay, all right.
Wow. Wow. Go ahead. Anyone else?
I don't know how much more you can add on to that. That brother was preaching right there. But I just like to say that this Samaritan was, you couldn't tell if he was out of his comfort zone by helping this man. Because a lot of times we can't help nobody if it's going to take us out of our comfort zone, if it's going to put us in an awkward position. You know, we can only help people as long as it don't affect us physically or personally or financially. I can give you a couple of dollars as long as I still got 10 in my pocket. You know, I can only help you as long as it's not going to really move me out of my comfort zone. And see, that's what happened with this Samaritan. You could never tell he was taken out of his comfort zone or not, because of his compassion towards his brother, his compassion towards his man. He just helped him. And you never knew that he was out of his comfort zone or not. You know, and so that's what we got to be, regardless if we get out of our comfort zone or not, because sometimes we will have to get out of our comfort zone when it comes to helping my brother or when it comes to helping my neighbor. You know, we have to get out of our, because that shows true compassion one to another. When things is not going to be exactly right for you when you helping somebody else. You know, that don't mean God can't replenish you or re-help you or do the things that he need to do to get to replenish your situation. But he wants to see us help our neighbor, help our brother, regardless if it takes us out of our comfort zone or not.
Great point.
And before Stanton get on, can I just add a little nugget? And I'm sorry, Vander Stanton, but we shouldn't have a name zone to begin with. We shouldn't have a comfort zone. We should just have a zone. We should just be available, regardless, because whatever is in our path, it was placed there for us to run into, and how we would handle it. See, and that's what God is looking at. What is going to be our action in our lane? All things work together, so we can't have a comfort zone. We got to have just a zone, and whatever's in my zone today, let me prepare to take care of it. So. All right, Evangelist Stan, I'm sorry.
No, y'all was listening. I'm liking it myself. the scripture said before, when he bound up his wounds, he poured in oil and wine. And I think about, you know, sometimes we need to help people get cleaned up, and then we offer them the oil, which is the Holy Spirit. We present to them Jesus as Lord and Savior. But we got to feed them first, as you're saying. We got to feed them, get them cold first, and then we can offer him Christ, and then it says, and wine. Now, to me, wine represents different things. You know, it can represent friendship, and it can just represent different things. It's like we got to be willing to take the time to give them time.
Amen. Great point. And I like what you all were saying, and what comes to my mind before we wrap it up is, when we give, let's not put it on the radio station and put it on the television and have to testify about it.
Mm-hmm.
When we give, we ought to do it, and I preached about this and mentioned this in the message Sunday. When you give, do it in secret so that God can reward us openly. I've matured enough where if you give to me, ask the pastor, and you want to testify about it, you know, I'm okay with it. I'm mature enough. You can go on and tell everybody, and you, as long as you've given, I'm mature. But everybody's not to that point, okay? And if you get up and, well, I had to give this sister $100. I had to give that brother over there a little piece of money. And, you know, you're already putting it out there what you've done, okay? And if we're not careful, we can ruin the credibility of the church. We can ruin someone's faith. You know, we can become a discouragement instead of encouragement, because we telling everything that we've done. Okay, so people of God, those that are watching, hey, let's help, but let's do it to the glory of God, so that even if the person don't say thank you, or even if they can't pay us back, we done it to the glory of God, knowing that ultimately God is the one that will repay us for the things that we've done.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Let's try to get through. Let's get through 35 through 37, and then we'll do the final wrap up. Let's see. It says verse 35. And on, well, let me go back to 34, if y'all will allow me to go back to 34. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. He let him drive his car. You know, we ain't going to let nobody drive our car. Amen. Not today. Amen. And brought him to an inn, okay, and took care of him. See, a lot of us, what is that point? What, how far will you go to help somebody? And when I talked this about a month or so ago on Tuesday night, the first question I asked the those that was in the sanctuary was, how far will you go to help a friend? Okay, and there were certain questions, certain answers given. And then I said, how far will you go to help a family member? And that, was certain, that was some answer. And then the last one was, how far will you go to help a stranger?
Yes.
It's easy to help the friends and the family. Mm-hmm. But how far will you go to assist a stranger? Okay. And on the morrow, verse 35, and on the morrow when he departed, when the Samaritan departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendeth more, in other words, whatever else he needs, when I come again, I will repay thee. I mean, look at the extent this Samaritan, the one that nothing good should have been coming out of, look at the extent that he's going, the detail. Because, you know, most of us would have said, well, hey, I put you in the hotel. Oh, I got to feed you, too. Oh,
yep,
haven't I done enough?
Yeah.
You know, so let's really think about that. Verse 36, which now, Jesus asked the question, says, which now of these three, remember, y'all, he's still talking to the lawyer. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Jesus asks him that question. And the young man comes back and answers. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. Final words. Elder Taylor. Let's go with Elder Taylor. Final words for tonight.
I like the fact that Jesus used a Samaritan to get his point across to this lawyer because of the despise that the Jews had with the Samaritans. And Jesus knew that if I'm going to get your attention, if you're going to listen to this parable, I'm going to use somebody. I'm going to get somebody that's going to get your attention. I'm going to use the person that's going to get your attention. And you can, and that you may pay attention, follow along, so that I can get my point across to you. And the second thing is that the word compassion is what reaches out to me also in this parable, and is how this Samaritan showed compassion towards this man that he didn't even know, you know, and the extent that he went to show this man compassion all the way to the end. He's seen it all the way to the end, as far as we can tell, you know, and that's what I got out of this.
All right. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Elder Bluett. Elder Bluett,
yes,
what you got?
It's what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And this simple parable is one way of doing it. And I think it's all about what can people do, how can they be How should they think to inherit eternal life? It's going to be a lot of folks that's going to make it up there, but it can't stay. It's going to be a lot of folks. They got to come before the judge. They got to come before Jesus. Got to come before God. It's going to have to answer some questions. And it don't matter what you say. He already got you wrote where you're going to be. This is just one way that we have to treat even our enemies and folks we don't know. See, it's easy to show, like you said, it's easy to show compassion to people you love, people you know, people you want in your life.
Yeah.
But can you show compassion to somebody you don't know? See? And we don't know everybody. God knows everybody. So if you're not talking to him, God knows him. We're all a part of a family. We got to treat others as we treat ourselves. That is one way to do it, to get into eternity. Now, this was a simple question he asked Jesus. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus gave him the proper answer. He gave him the proper answer. And at the end, he said, go and do thou likewise. But just to go back to verse 35, the Samaritan had to have been known by the innkeeper. The Samaritan had to have been, had a good character.
Good point.
He may have even done this before. See, because there's no argument from the innkeeper. But he had to have done this before. Whatever you spend more, the people we despise could be some of the best people in the world. And we got to stop looking down on people. And this Jew thought he was something. But what he was nothing. And Jesus showed him, you're looking down on, I make happen. And we cannot look down on the things that God make happen. And like you say, everything is planned by God. We have to respect his plans. That's all I got.
Yeah. Yes, sir. That's good. Evangelist Stanton.
Pastor, you said it. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. If we don't understand what it means to love, I would really recommend that everybody read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That is going to explain what it means and how we are supposed to love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a very, very powerful scripture defining love and how we should love. We can talk a good talk. We can talk a fake walk. But when it comes to love, that's really going to teach us how to love our neighbor as ourselves.
Yes. And last but not least, my wife is going to finally chime in. She's been eating and enjoying this in the spirit. She's really been taking notes throughout this whole Bible study. So let's hear from my first and my only lady, Lady Zachary.
Good evening, everyone. I just want to encourage those that are listening. This has been an awesome and encouraging Bible study. But as I was taking notes, I just want to encourage those that you may have, you know, you may not be a pastor, evangelist, or elder, or missionary, but you may be that Samaritan, the ones that was despised and that was looked down upon. But I want to encourage you that God can still use you.
Yeah.
God can still use you right where you are to bring hope to a hopeless situation. And as the Samaritan helped this person that was in misery, you can help someone as well by helping them, you know, encouraging their heart and just doing good by them. And it's a scripture, Matthew 7. And it tells us that it says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So be encouraged. You may be that one out there that your family has thrown you away. Your children have thrown you away. But God has not thrown you away. So help when you can help and be blessed. Amen.
All right. Well, we appreciate that from my lovely wife. The preacher passed him up. The Levite, the deacon, looked him up. But the Samaritan picked him up. Once again, the preacher passed him up. The priest passed him up. Levi looked him up. But the Samaritan picked him up.
Yes, sir.
The preacher said, what's mine is mine, I'll keep it.
All right.
The Levite said, what's yours is mine, I'll take it. But the good Samaritan said, what's mine is yours, we can share it.
That's good. Yes, sir.
Let's keep in mind the priest also represented the law. And I'm getting happy, and I'm closing right through here. The law and the Levite represented also the prophets. So you got the law and the prophets according to Matthew 22 and 40. But then the Samaritan represented Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And
as
the Samaritan told the innkeeper, I'm coming back, and when I come back, I'll take care of his debt.
That's good.
And if I was in the sanctuary right about now, I would tell my son to put me in E flat so we could go ahead on and ride on through this storm. But
yes, sir.
I just want y'all to know, whatever you're going through, Jesus is the Good Samaritan. As he did, we should do likewise.
Yes,
and he's standing here ready to pick you up, put you on the beast, on his own beast, bind you up. And remember, he was wounded for our transgressions.
Watch out, watch out.
Bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. But with his stripes, we are healed. You that are sick right now, speak to yourself. Speak healing to yourself. As we pray, our final prayer and benediction, once again, we would like for you to, if you've enjoyed this broadcast, if you've enjoyed this Bible study, we ask that you prayerfully will support this ministry. We know every church, for the most part, there's things going on. We can't really congregate like we normally do. But we would ask that before I close, I'm going to ask Evangelist Stanton to once again give the information for the church where you may, if the Lord lays it on your heart, maybe a $5 donation on tonight, a $10 donation, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, it would be greatly appreciative. And one thing about our church, and for those that can start following us on Facebook, we have a small church, but we have a huge ministry. And we would love for you to partner in with us with whatever amount, whatever donation. And if you don't have anything, just continue to pray. Continue to pray for the church. Become a Facebook friend of ours, and let us know that the broadcast has been a blessing to you. So before we close, Evangelist Stanton, if you would just please give out the information again for those that may want to give a love offering on tonight.
Thank you, sir. We do have Cash App available. That is money sign, P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. Once again, that is money sign, PTC877. If you would like to give by credit card, you can give our call center a call. The telephone number is 678-760-056. Once again, that's 678-760-6056. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, my sister. All right, all right. To our family and friends, those at Praise Tabernacle, we love you. Once again, thank you for chiming in. So many of you have been responding to me. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor about Praise Tabernacle Church. As Elder Oliver stated, we are located at 877 North Clayton Street in the beautiful city of Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30046. On behalf of me and my staff, my precious wife and my family, we want you to know that we love you, Elder Oliver, and Blog Talk Chaos, Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for this new avenue. We appreciate it. Appreciate this new avenue.
Thank you for this new avenue. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Pastor. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, we got some feedback coming in there. But we just want to thank you for during the Bible study, not just for Praise Tabernacle, but for all the listeners that are listening. We just want to say thank you and to the staff, to the elders, and an evangelist. We just want to say thank you for taking the time out to share the word. First and foremost, a couple